Paramahansa Parivijakacharya Ashtotra Shatashi Srimad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON BBT Samsthapakacharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to the Prabhupada. Where's the clock? Make this next. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narancaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirae Nishnashta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So, we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 24, in the matter of chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text 28. Yaha Param Ramhasa Saksha Trigunaj Jiva Samnita Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapannaha Sa Priyo Hime Ya Param Ramhasa Sakshat Triguna Jiva Samnitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapanna Sapriyo Hime Ya Param Ramhasa Saksha Triguna Jiva Samnita Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapanna sa priyo hime Ya param ramhasa sakshat Triguna jiva samyita Bhagavantam vasudevam Prapanna sa priyo hime. Thank you. Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prabhana Satriyo Hime. Matajis. Yakaram Rama Sasacha Rajiva Samhita Bhagavantam Vasudeva Apanna Satriyo Hime. Param Rama Sasakshat Triguna Jiva Sanyitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapannasa Priyo Hime. Yaha, anyone, Param, transcendental, Ramhasa, of the controller, Saksha, directly, Triguna, from the three modes of material nature, Jiva Samnitat, living entities called by the name Jivas, Bhagavantam, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudevam, unto Krishna, Prapannaha, surrendered, Saha, he, Priyaha, very dear, he, undoubtedly, may, of me. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Shiva continued, any person who surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity, is actually very dear to me. Purport. This is a fairly long purport. Now, Lord Shiva explains the reason he has personally come before the princes. It is because all the princes are devotees of Lord Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 19, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabaha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Lord Shiva is rarely seen by common men, and similarly, a person who is fully surrendered unto Vasudeva, Krishna, is also very rarely seen, because a person who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord is very rare. Sa Mahatma Sudurlabaha. Consequently, Lord Shiva came especially to see the Prachetas because they were fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Vasudeva is also mentioned in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Since Vasudeva is the ultimate truth, Lord Shiva openly proclaims that one who is a devotee of Lord Vasudeva, who surrendered to Lord Krishna, is actually very dear to him. Lord Vasudeva, Krishna, is worshipable not only by ordinary living entities, but by demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and others. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Stuvanti Divyastavai Bhagavatam 12.13.1. Krishna is worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Varuna, Indra, Chandra and all other demigods. That is also the situation with a devotee. Indeed, one who takes to Krishna consciousness immediately becomes very dear to anyone who is simply finding out and beginning to understand what Krishna consciousness actually is. Similarly, all the demigods are also trying to find out who is actually surrendered to Lord Vasudeva, because the Pracheta princess was surrendered to Vasudeva, Lord Shiva willingly came forth to see them. Lord Vasudeva or Krishna is described in Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama. Actually, he is the enjoyer, Purusha, and the supreme, Uttama, as well. He is the enjoyer of everything, the Prakriti and the Purusha. Being influenced by the three modes of material nature, the living entity tries to dominate material nature, but actually he is not the Purusha, enjoyer, but Prakriti, as described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 5. Apreyam itas tva anyam prakritim viddhi me param. Thus, the jiva or living entity is actually Prakriti or the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. Being associated with material energy, he tries to lord it over the material nature. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 7. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha manashastriyandhyani prakritisthani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. By endeavoring to dominate material nature, the living entity simply struggles hard for existence. Indeed, he struggles so hard to enjoy himself that he cannot even enjoy the material resources. Thus, he is sometimes called Prakriti or Jiva, for he is situated in the marginal potency. When the living entity is covered with the three modes of material nature, he is called Jiva Samnita. There are two kinds of living entities. One is called Kshara and the other is Akshara. Kshara refers to those who have fallen down and become conditioned, and Akshara refers to those who are not conditioned. The vast majority of living entities live in the spiritual world and are called Akshara. They are in the position of Brahman, pure spiritual existence. They are different from those who have been conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Being above both the Kshara and Akshara, Lord Krishna Vasudeva is described in Bhagavad Gita 15.18 as Purushottama. The impersonalist may say that Vasudeva is the impersonal Brahman, but actually the impersonal Brahman is subordinate to Krishna, as also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 27. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. That Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. That Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5.40. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. The impersonal Brahman is nothing but the effulgence or bodily rays of Krishna. And in those bodily rays, there are innumerable universes floating. Thus, in all respects, Vasudeva Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Lord Shiva is very satisfied with those who are completely surrendered unto him. Complete surrender is desired by Krishna, as he indicates in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita 1866, Sarvadharman Paritejya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. The word Sakshat meaning directly is very significant. There are many so-called devotees, but actually they are only karmis and jnanis, for they are not directly devotees of Lord Krishna. The karmis sometimes offer the results of their activities to Lord Vasudeva, and this offering is called karmarpanam. These are considered to be fruitive activities. For the karmis consider Lord Vishnu to be one of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Because they considered Lord Vishnu to be on the same level with the demigods, they contend that surrendering to the demigods is as good as surrendering unto Vasudeva. This contention is denied herein because if it were true, Lord Shiva would have said that surrender unto him, Lord Vasudeva, Vishnu or Brahma is the same. However, Lord Shiva does not say this because he himself surrenders unto Vasudeva, and whoever else surrenders unto Vasudeva is very, very dear to him. This is expressed herein openly. The conclusion is that a devotee of Lord Shiva is not dear to Lord Shiva, but a devotee of Lord Krishna is very dear to Lord Shiva. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagar Jatam Sagana Ragunathan Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Laritha Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhi Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Vam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Chaipataka Swamin Iti Namine Namacharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayane Gaurakata Damadaya Nagar Grama Tharine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Pranadana Dase Iti Namine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shavas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Giram Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurun Tarinam Yat Kripatamaham Bande Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana Smrite Yasmin Dushkaram Sukaram Bhavet Vismrite Viparitam Syat Shri Chaitanyam Namamitam. So I'll begin with a small overview or recap of what's going on. The third canto and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is a conversation between the sage Maitreya and Vidura. We are now in the concluding portion of Maitreya's talks with Vidura, and the fourth canto ends with that talk. Now in this section of the Bhagavatam, the descendants of the first son of Swayambhuva Manu is described. Swayambhuva Manu's first son is Uttanapada, and Uttanapada's son is Dhruva. So the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu are described in this section of the Bhagavatam. So you have Swayambhuva Manu, then you have Uttanapada, then you have Dhruva, and down the line you have Anga, Vena, then you have Prithu, Maharaj Prithu, then you have the the great grandson of Maharaj Prithu, King Prachina Barishad, and then you have his 10 sons, the Prachetas. So here we are dealing with the Prachetas, who are the sons of King Prachina Barishad, and Prachina Barishad is the great grandson of Maharaj Prithu. So earlier in the Bhagavatam, we found that the glories are described of the descendants of Swayambhava Manu because they all had natural affinity to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So here in this particular chapter, we see that King Prachila Bharishyad has instructed his sons, the Prachetas, the 10 sons, to increase progeny. So before doing that, they underwent austerities for 10,000 years under the guidance of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, as we'll see and as we already know, is considered the Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. It's the greatest among all the Vaishnavas. So Lord Shiva is giving instructions to the Prachetas on the path of devotional service. And later on, we'll see how the Prachetas, they undertook these instructions very seriously. They practiced severe austerities for 10,000 years. And finally, Vishnu himself appears before the Prachetas, being pleased with their activities. I won't go into that now. So that's the basic context of this chapter, where Lord Shiva is now instructing the Prachetas to take up the path of devotional service. In this particular purport, what Srila Prabhupada does is, first, he explains how complete surrender to the Lord is extremely rare. And then he also mentions how it is very rare to actually see a devotee, and when great demigods like Lord Shiva or others who know the position of Lord Krishna, and when they see a devotee who is fully surrendered to the Lord, he is as good as the Lord. So they see him also as very rare, and they are very pleased by such surrender. So that's what we see Lord Shiva is telling here, that any person, the translation, any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as living entity, is actually very dear to me. So the person who is completely surrendered to the Lord is very rare, and such a person is very dear to all the demigods. So that's the first part of the purport. In the second part of the purport, Prabhupada does something interesting. He brings out how, in fact it follows from the translation, he brings out how Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he goes step by step, and he begins by saying that Krishna is Purusha Uttama, the Supreme among the Purushas. And then he says how he is master of both Prakriti and Purushas and other Purushas. He is the ultimate master. Then he says that he is also the master of all the living entities. And Prabhupada further classifies the living entities are of two types, Kshara, Akshara. Those in the spiritual world, those who are in the material world. And Prabhupada explains how the Supreme Lord is master of both the kinds of living entities. Then he says how the impersonal Brahman comes from the Supreme Lord, and all the planets, spiritual planets, are situated in the Brahma Jyoti. So in this way, Prabhupada establishes how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says, thus in all respects, Vasudeva, Krishna, is the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada establishes step by step how Krishna is the Vasudeva, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he is the person who is worthy of surrendering to. And he concludes that second part of the purport by saying, complete surrender is desired by Krishna, as he indicates in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. So that's the second part of the purport. And in the last part of the purport, Prabhupada distinguishes complete surrender from other kinds of surrender. So he refers to this concept of karmarpana. Karmarpana is offering of one's karma to, offering of one's activities to the Supreme Lord. And he distinguishes that from complete surrender. So, from the beginning to the end, this purport is about complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. So, in today's class, I would like to speak on this topic of complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I would like to explore a few things on this topic. Now, what is our philosophy? What is our philosophy of Krishna consciousness? So, we take the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Lord himself. He has come here to teach us what is Krishna consciousness and what is the surrendering process. So we take his opinion. And what is his opinion? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. That is, our philosophy is, according to the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we worship Krishna, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda. And what is this about? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. His abode is Vrindavan. And we worship Krishna and we consider his abode Vrindavan, where he lives, to be non-different from him. Because Prabhupada explains, the name, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, they are all non-different. So we consider his abode Taddhama Vrindavanam to be non-different from Krishna. So this is whom we worship, Krishna, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, who lives in Vrindavan. And how do we worship Krishna? Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargena vakalpita. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu. Vrajavadu means the damsels of Vrindavan. So we worship Krishna, who is the son of Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, who lives in Vrindavan, in the mood of the damsels of Vrindavan. Vrajavadu, Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadu Va Vargena Va Kalpita. So this is the highest mode of worship. So this is what we follow. And what is our evidence for this? Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam. So this is our evidence. Bhagavatam is our scripture. This is our evidence for what we are doing. Then, what is the goal? So the evidence is Bhagavatam. Then what is the goal? Prema Pumarto Mahan. That is, to develop love for Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Matamidam. This is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is our process. And interestingly, in the introduction to teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada mentions the same thing. He just translates it word by word, Aradhyo Bhagavan, this whole verse, and then he puts it in English, and then he says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demands that one surrender unto him according to six guidelines. So this is the demand of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we surrender to the Supreme Lord according to six principles. What are those six principles? First principle is, we should accept whatever is favorable for devotional service. The second principle is, we should reject whatever is unfavorable for devotional service. The third principle is, one should be completely confident of the protection of the Lord. The fourth principle is that one should be exclusively dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The fifth principle is that one should have no interest separate from the interests of the Lord. And the sixth principle is, one should always remain meek and humble. The Sikshashtaka also embodies these six principles of surrender. So when we say surrender in our Krishna consciousness movement, it is not a vague term. In fact, Prabhupada calls nectar of devotion as a science of bhakti yoga. So whatever we talk is very scientific. It is very objective and it can be backed up with evidence. We're not talking of something sentimental. When we say surrender to Krishna, this is what we mean. Prabhupada mentions, this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demands. We are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is what he demands. That these six principles are the guiding principles of surrender. Now, just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the Sikshashtaka, Prabhupada mentions in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, what did Rupa Goswami do? He left the Nectar of Instruction. Prabhupada mentions in the preface that Rupa Goswami left the Nectar of Instruction just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the Sikshashtaka. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions that the first five verses of the Nectar of Instruction were actually instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly to his disciples in Jagannath Puri while they were at the beach. And this is recorded in a biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Gaura Krishna Udaya, the rising of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaura Krishna Udaya. And this was by a biographer from Orissa called Govinda Das. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his commentaries to the Nectar of Instruction mentions that the first five verses of the Nectar of Instruction were directly spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his disciples. So there we have this. If you look at the six principles of surrender, the first principle is accepting whatever is favorable for the discharge of devotional service, and the second principle is rejecting whatever is unfavorable. Now what Rupa Goswami does is, in the second, these two are essentially dealt with in the second and third verses of the Nectar of Instruction. In the second verse of the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami deals with things that are unfavorable to the practice of devotional service. In the third verse of the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami deals with things which are favorable. So he begins with what are unfavorable for devotional service. In the second verse of the Nectar of Instruction, Atyahara Prayasascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Janasangascha Laulyamcha Shadbir Bhakti Vinashyati. Vinashyati means destroy. So these six things, they destroy bhakti. So there are six principles of surrender, and the first two, accepting whatever is favorable and rejecting whatever is unfavorable, each of these have six subdivisions. Essentially there are six principles of surrender, and in the six principles of surrender, in the first principle there are six subdivisions, in the second principle there are six subdivisions. So six, 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 like that's how it is, that's the structure. So Atyahara, Prabhupada defines as eating, in general we know Atyahara means eating more than necessary, but also Prabhupada translates that as eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. So that's the first thing which is unfavorable for devotional service. Then you have over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. Three, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. So eating more or collecting more funds is Atyahara. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain is Prayasa. Then you have Prajalpa. I think that we know. We're quite familiar with that word. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Niyamagraha, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations not only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. So that's one thing, just following it for the sake of following them and not for spiritual advancement. And then rejecting the rules and regulations of scriptures and working independently or whimsically. That is number four. Then that's Niyamagraha. Number five is Janasangha. Janasangha means associating with worldly minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And six is Laulyam, greedy for mundane achievements. Of course, Rupa Goswami also uses the word Laulyam in the context of greed for devotional service. But here in this context, Laulyam refers to greed for mundane achievements. So these are the six things unfavorable for the practice of devotional service. Then Rupa Goswami deals with what are the six things that are favorable. Utsahan nishchayat dairyat tat tat karma pravartanat. Sangatyaga chatovritte sadbir bhakti prasidyati. So the six principles of favor, the six things which are favorable. Utsahan is in general enthusiasm. Prabhupada writes as, yes, Prabhupada just translated as being enthusiastic. Then nishchaya, Prabhupada translates it as endeavoring with confidence. Then you have dairyat, which is acting, dairyat is patient, just being patient. Devotional service takes time for you to reach the ultimate goal of life. Of course, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is much, much simplified. But nevertheless, it takes time. So we require patience. Then you have acting according to regulative principles, tatra karma pravartana, which means you have to act according to the regulative principles such as shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. And then you have sangatyaga. Now it's very interesting that we have in the six things which you have to avoid, it says avoiding associating with worldly minded persons can destroy bhakti. And here in principles of which are favorable, it says avoid the non-devotees. So it's kind of repeated there and here. I mean, it's mentioned there and here. It's kind of a repetition. So it's very important. Abandoning the association of non-devotees. And the sixth one is following satovritte, which means following in the footsteps of the acharyas. And then Prabhupada writes, these six principles undoubtedly assure this complete success of pure devotional service. So this is our surrendering process. It is very, very well defined. It's an extremely well defined process. And in our process, in our practice of Krishna consciousness, this is the guideline which we have to constantly follow. And I'm using the expression constantly follow because surrender is not a one-time event. Yes, at a certain point in time, I decided that I want to take to Krishna consciousness. I became serious. I got initiated. So I'm surrendered. So the surrender is, the word surrender has much larger meaning than that. It is a continuous event until one reaches the stage of pure devotional service. Until one reaches the stage of the goal, which is Prema Pumarto Mahan, love of God. So the surrender is a constant process that one has to actively cultivate. And when I mean actively cultivate, I mean to say that sometimes we hear, okay, just surrender unto Krishna and everything will go away, all your anarthas, everything, just surrender. That's what we have to focus on, just surrender. However, surrender is according to the definitions given by Rupa Goswami. So we see here that it involves some work from our part. Okay, we chant in 16 rounds following the four regulative principles, but we have to follow the instructions given by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction. These six principles which are favorable, six principles which are unfavorable, this has to be an active component of our everyday life. It is not that we don't think of these things, rather we have to think about these things. This is our guiding principle. In fact, Prabhupada uses a strong expression in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He says the Lord demands that we surrender unto Him according to these six guidelines of surrender. So it's an important, very indispensable part of our Krishna consciousness practice that we have to surrender according to the guidelines that has been given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so that's, of course, to talk on this concept of surrender would actually require a seminar. There are several things to be dealt with. So I'm just touching it in brief. And then in the last part of the purport, we see that Prabhupada is contrasting surrender with karmarpana. What is this karmarpana? He says that people, they may worship Krishna, they may offer their results to Him, but they may consider Him to be equal to the other demigods. So that is not considered surrender. Also, sometimes I was thinking that within our own context of practice of devotional service, especially when we, not only with newcomers, but I'm not going to do an example with other practitioners, but it's an easy to give an example of newcomers, especially students. Sometimes this question is often asked by the students, and I have to answer this question. They ask me, okay, now we have our exams. It's a critical examination. We have a final examination at college or school. And Indian examinations are very, very, very rigorous. Probably next only to the Japanese system, I've heard. Okay, so then they say, you mean we have to chant 16 rounds even before we, even during our exams? Or do we have to attend the programs even during exams? Now, the concept of devotion service as given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and as given by Prabhupada is that we cannot do away with the essential principles of Krishna consciousness, chanting our rounds, chanting the holy names of Krishna, associating with devotees. This is an essential component of devotional service. This is a predominant component of devotional service. Now, the moment you take that out, then this concept of offering, okay, I'm studying for Krishna, that is called karmarpana, because you don't have the predominant component as prescribed by the previous acharyas, as prescribed by Srila Prabhupada, as prescribed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when you don't have that predominant component, which is chanting, associating with devotees, and practicing seriously according to the six guidelines, the moment you take that out, so even if you are offering an activity to Krishna, it is not considered as part of the surrendering process, it's part of the karmarpanam process. So it's very important, that is, I just gave a very simple example to understand, but in our own life, we should remember that the predominance of these activities of devotional service, very important, that we have to practice chanting seriously, we have to practice associating with devotees, and all the other instructions which Srila Prabhupada has given us for our devotional service. And I was watching a video of Nanda Kumar Prabhu. He was formerly Prabhupada's servant, and this is sometime in the recent past, I think it was last year, where he is speaking at the Dallas Temple. So he was mentioning how he was Prabhupada's servant, and at one point he went up to Prabhupada and told him that I would like to get married. And Prabhupada said, why you want to get married? Because and then Prabhupada began to explain to him what plans he had for Nanda Kumar Prabhu. I think I may be wrong about the sequence, but the facts are true. Prabhupada did mention to him that, I don't know if it was before he mentioned about getting married or after, but Prabhupada mentioned to him that Achyutananda is in India. I'm sending Jayapataka to India, so you can also join Jayapataka, and the three of you can be in India like the Trinities, like the Trinity, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Brahma. And Nanda Kumar Prabhu says that I knew which among them I was. So that was Prabhupada's plan, that he wanted to send Nanda Kumar Prabhu, he wanted to give him sannyas and send him to India. And he wanted him to be in Mayapur, actually. So then, Nanda Kumar Prabhu, one day he brings up this point, brings up this request to Prabhupada that he would like to get married. And Prabhupada said, who said? where do you want to get married? And then Nandakumar Prabhu said that the temple president told me that I need to get married. Then he said, so you should listen. And then Nandakumar Prabhu said that Prabhupada, you taught us that we have to listen to the temple president. We have to listen to our GBC. So they're asking me to get married. So I think I should get married. And Prabhupada said, no, no. For regular activities, they can guide you. But for something serious, you have to come to me. So, but Nandakumar Prabhu recollects that somehow he couldn't follow that instruction. He ended up getting married. And then he says something very important. He says, you know why that happened? He said that he used to be always regular in chanting his rounds. But one day, he did not finish a few rounds because he said that he did not eat sweet. He ate sweets at night, sorry. He ate sweets at night. So he couldn't get up in the morning or somehow. Because he ate sweets at night, he couldn't finish his rounds. He slept, he thought I'll finish in the morning, like that. So that's the first time that he missed his rounds. And interestingly, the very next day morning, Prabhupada asked him, are you chanting your rounds? And Prabhupada said, and he said, Nandakumar Prabhu said, Prabhupada, I've never missed my rounds. But yesterday, I had the sweet and I missed my rounds. And Prabhupada and Nandakumar Prabhu says, he says, I want this to be known to all of you, future generations of Prabhupada followers. He says, Prabhupada's eyes widened and he said, if you don't chant your rounds, then your whereabouts are unknown, he said. And then Prabhupada went on to explain that when you are surrendered to the Lord, when you chant His holy names, follow the most essential instruction of Prabhupada, so chant 16 rounds. Then he said, it is just like a child holding on to the hand of the father. So even if the child falls down, Krishna picks him up because he's trying hard the process of surrender. But he said, but if you don't chant your rounds, then your whereabouts are unknown. So we have to take the process of devotional service as given by Prabhupada very seriously. Of course, Prabhupada mentioned this about chanting rounds, but in general, all things that Prabhupada has mentioned about serious devotional service, the process of complete surrender, it has to be taken very seriously. Otherwise, as Prabhupada said, our whereabouts, we don't want our whereabouts to be unknown. We want to develop pure love for Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions there is one very interesting lecture. I just wanted to just read a small section from that lecture. This is given on the, Prabhupada gave this lecture in Bombay on the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I would recommend that you read that lecture. This is 1973, a very good lecture, but I will read a small part of it. Now, we're speaking about surrender, and I wanted to also contrast it with what it means not to surrender, you know. Because what Prabhupada thinks of it, because once you understand this is surrender, if you don't surrender, what does Prabhupada and the previous acharyas think? I wanted to just bring that point. That's why I'm just reading this excerpt. Prabhupada saying, Krishna says that one who does not surrender to him is Naradhama, the lowest of mankind. Oh, how is he Naradhama? He's an MA, a PhD, a DHC, THC. How is he Naradhama? Maya Pahrita Jnana, his knowledge has no value because he does not know Krishna. These MAs and PhDs will not help you. Krishna says, one who does not worship me has no knowledge. Why? Because if one remains obstinately averse to surrendering to God, what is the value of his knowledge? He has no knowledge. So one who does not surrender to Krishna, he calls them Naradhamas. They may be apparently very smart, but they're actually, the devotees of the Lord are smarter. I was reading a joke where a teacher is taking a class for small children, and the teacher says very proudly, small kids, and the teacher says, I'm an atheist. How many of you in the class are atheists? They're all very small children, you know. And most of the kids raise their hands because they want to be like the teacher, so they think it's a great thing to be an atheist. So most of them raise their hands. But there is one small little girl who does not raise her hand. So the teacher asks this small little girl, how is it that you have not raised your hand? And then that small girl replies, I'm different. I've been brought up to know and love Jesus. My father is a Christian. My mother is a Christian. I'm also a Christian. Then the teacher gets annoyed. And she says, what kind of reason is that to be a Christian? Your father is a Christian. Your mother is a Christian. You are also a Christian. What kind of reason is that? What if your father was an idiot? Mother was an idiot? Your grandparents are also idiots. Then what would you be? And she said, I guess I would be an atheist. this point was that here is a teacher. I mean, this is modern education. Atheism is in fashion. So if you're an atheist, you're considered very great. But here is a small child who doesn't know much, but who has only heard a little bit, and whose faith in the Lord could defeat even the most smart material teacher. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that here in this lecture, therefore Krishna says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanaman mam prapadyate. After many, many births of struggling to cultivate knowledge, one who is actually wise surrenders to Krishna. My dear Lord Krishna, for so long I had forgotten you, not knowing that my only business, Prabhupada mentioned, only business is to surrender to you. But today I surrender. Please protect me. That is intelligent. At the moment you surrender, you're protected. Lord Krishna says, Sarva dharman paritejya mamekam sharanam praja aham tam sarvapyo mokshasyami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Now the most interesting part is coming. The Lord also promises, Kaunteya pratijnanahi name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee never perishes. Now, Prabhupada mentions, please hear this carefully. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to make fools and rascals and sinful men wise. And actually, it is happening. Papi tapi yatachilo hariname udarilo tara sakshi jagai madai. You want evidence? Look at Jagai and Madai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered two sinful brothers named Jagai and Madai. Now you can see how strong is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Many thousands of Jagai and Madais are being delivered. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is greater than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally delivered Jagai and Madai. But now by his movement, thousands of Jagais and Madais are being delivered. This is the practical evidence. So here we have a very interesting contrast. You hear that Sa Mahatma Sudurlaba. Durlaba means rare. Sudurlaba means extremely rare. And something which is extremely rare, and Prabhupada mentions here, that there are hundreds and thousands of people who are being delivered. So what is rare has become not so rare. And that is the extraordinary kindness and mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that has been delivered to us by Srila Prabhupada. This is the special gift that we have received. What was actually so rare has been presented so freely by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and has been presented as it is by Srila Prabhupada and our praise acharyas. So we have to simply take to this process. In fact, at a few purports, I'll end with that. A few purports earlier, Prabhupada makes a very interesting point that, I think it's text 21. Here Prabhupada mentions, this is text 20. The purport, Prabhupada writes that the Prabhupada writes about a great devotee. He says, due to his association with Krishna, a devotee is always very calm and cool. It is also significant that within the reservoir, all the aquatics were also very calm and quiet. He's referring to the Prachetas, they went to the reservoir. All the aquatics were very calm and quiet. And Prabhupada goes on to mention, because the disciples of a devotee have taken shelter of a great soul, they become very calm and quiet and are not agitated by the waves of the material world. So this is our secret, that we have to take shelter of the great Acharya. Prabhupada has come to give us that shelter. And when we take that shelter, then we are not agitated by the waves of the material world. We become calm and quiet. In fact, there is one very interesting anecdote. What to speak of living entities, even what to speak of human beings, even non-human beings can become calm and quiet. There is one anecdote, I don't remember which place it was, but Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasana and his disciples were sitting down. There were a lot of mosquitoes. I was told that this is New Vrindavan. There were a lot of mosquitoes. And the mosquitoes were biting. So Prabhupada's servant turned towards Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, the mosquitoes are biting." And then Prabhupada said, "They're not biting me." And so the disciple said, "Prabhupada, you are a pure devotee. The mosquitoes know that. Therefore they respect you." Prabhupada said, "Yes, here they respect. But in Calcutta, they make no such distinction." Anyway, the point was that Prabhupada did acknowledge that the mosquitoes do not bite him. So that's the influence of a pure devotee, that not only the living entities, but not only the human beings, but the non-human beings also can become calm and quiet. And it says here that by being under the shelter of such a devotee, one is not agitated by the waves of the material world. So I'll end by saying that just like Krishna, when he left the Bhagavatam. Krishna sve dhamo pagate dharma jnana divisa kalau nashtra drishameka puranarko adhurodita, which means the Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna, and people who are lost can get light from this Purana. So although Prabhupada has left, he has left us physically, he has given us his books. And those who take shelter of his books do not fall down. Prabhupada actually said that, if you take shelter of my books, you will not fall down. So that is the secret, that now that Prabhupada is not physically present, we have to take serious shelter of his books and his followers who are following seriously. And by this process of taking shelter of his books and his followers who are following seriously, then we can be always calm and cool, and as Prabhupada mentions, calm and quiet, and advance very rapidly towards the ultimate goal of life, which is Krishna Prema. So I think I'll stop here. If there are any comments or questions, I think it's a little bit exactly on time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anand Koti Vaishnava ki jai.